Chapter 1, the book of Isaiah, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devoured in your presence. And it is desolate, it's overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage and a vineyard, as a lodge and a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been it like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, and incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderous. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, Ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaves fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tar, and the maker of it as a spark. And they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. Well, you can see here what I was trying to tell you before I read. It says, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. He said, it's a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, the seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They've forsaken the Lord, he said. Then he says here, why should you be stricken anymore? He said, you revolt more and more, the head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the feet under the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So then when you look at that, you see that that is the answer to the problems of today. The preacher gets up to preach, and the preacher preaches to the congregation that they need to repent. And the congregation gets upset, and the congregation turns away. And the congregation frowns on it, and the congregation shifts to and fro. The congregation doesn't like sound doctrine. The Bible said in the latter times that they won't endure sound doctrine, but that they will heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears. And the Bible said they'll be turned to fables, old wives' fables. And that in the latter times many shall depart from the word of God, or it says from the faith. Faith by the hearing of the word of God. And so he said that the whole country is desolate. He said there's nothing but cancer. There's nothing but TB. There's nothing but heart trouble. There's nothing but paralysis, muscular dystrophy, as we would say. And the Bible says every plague that this word names, I will bring it upon you. And said in every plague, every disease that is not named in this book, he said, I will bring it upon you because you've forsaken me. And he said, because you've gone your own way, my people, having forsaken me, forgotten me days without number. The church people, you know, there's one time that the church people would follow the Lord. They'd get in the wagons and they'd ride to the churches. And they'd stay all day. They'd cook their meals on Saturday. Wouldn't even cook on Sunday. So that they could take their meals with them. And they would have their food all day, and the wife and the little children. All they knew on Sunday was that that was a day of worship, a day of rest, a day of being with the Lord. But now it's a day for ball games. It's a day for frolic. Now then, they frolic. They don't go to the house of God, and they bring the pool rooms or the pool tables into the house of God. And now they've got ball games. The churches have got their ball games. The Bible said your head is bruised. You've got wounds. You've got sufferings. He said you're sick. The whole body is sick. He said in more bruises and more judgment from God and more judgment still yet to come. He said and the whole city is desolate. And it's going to be worse than that, he said. Just worse and worse and worse. The day of the Lord is a great day of darkness. He said because you have revolted against me. And you have rebelled against me, and you're not following my ordinance, and you've not followed my will, and you're not thinking my thoughts, and you're not doing my thing, God said. He said, so then, he said, you are in a terrible condition. He said, your state of affairs is bad. So then the whole body is sick. Can't find enough beds in the hospital. Can't find enough rooms. In the insane asylums, there's not enough room for the people. In the jails and in the prisons, both for men and women, there's not enough room. Some of the women have to stand up while others sleep. And then they take turns sleeping because there's no judgment in the earth. And there's no righteousness in the earth. And there's nobody that follows after God in the earth. And so all of these things are in the earth. All of these terrible things. That's why the IRS, that's why all this Jim Jones thing, that's why all of these problems around the world where the armies and the governments and the people and things are rising up against the church. It's because the church is not praying and the church is not fasting and the church is not living holy and the church is not conforming to holiness. They're not going on with God. And the church is not about their father's business. They're in a frolic with the ball game. And they're mixing with the world. And the more they get into the world, the more bondage they're under. Because the greater strength that the enemy has over them, and the more they're made to make the brick and the straw, as we say. So then they're mixing with the world. They want to be big. They want to be celebrities. They want to be entertainers. They want to be presidents. They want to be rulers. They want to be leaders. They want to be in Babylon. Like I saw a vision the other night of a man. I saw him get on a horse. I saw him get astride this horse. He sat down on this horse with such firmness that I especially noticed in the vision you couldn't even cause his thoughts to flicker. He was that staunch as he sat down upon that horse. He got up on that horse. He jerked back on the reins, and that horse was a fiery horse, and that horse turned around out of my presence, and he rode right off and left me and rode right straight out into the world, and he never did flinch. See, what is it? What is it? It's mastery, but it's mastery for the wrong thing. It's mastery, but it's mastery to become some kind of athlete. It's mastery that you might become some kind of a celebrity. See, it's some kind of mastery that you might become some know-it-all in the world, as we say, or some educational person that might be some great orator or something to be admired of men. See, it's mastery, but it's not mastery in Christ. Folks, what I need to master is the devil. I need to overcome him by faith in Jesus. And I need to be in mastery and holiness. I need to master the body to the extent that I can be holy and godly from my very thoughts and intents of my heart, day after day and year after year. I need to be in mastery to the extent that I can lay down the fishing and the hunting and lay down the frolics and going down to the beaches frolicking and doing the things of the world. I need to lay down things that would take me out yonder to cause me to want to have a big business and be fabulous in the eyes of people and make money and have prestige and those kind of things. See, I need to master in Christ. I need to master to where I walk right, I talk right, everything I do is right. Every thought is brought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to be in such a condition that if I work, that if I do anything, I do it as unto the Lord. And that if I labor in the world, I'm laboring that I might have to give, that I might give unto those that are in need. This is one of the complaints that God has against the people here. He said, you've not judged the cause of the widow and of the orphan. You've not ministered to them. And you've not tried to help them. You've not labored that you might have to give so that you could share with those kind of people. You haven't done that. So you haven't done that. You've done your own thing. You've made your own gardens. You've done your own planting. You've chose your own seeds. You've heaped to yourself teachers, having itchy ears. And you've not done what God commissioned you to do. So then the Bible said the body is just bruised from chastisement. The head is all bruised. The body's all bruised up. There is no sleep at night. There is no rest during the day. There is no way to enjoy the things that God has blessed you with. In your car when you ride, your misery. Your stomach is full of ulcers. You're rotting in your bellies. You're miserable. Your nerves is breaking up on you. Your mental capacity is going down on you. You can't enjoy what you eat. You can't enjoy your bed that you lay down on to sleep on. You can't enjoy things because even your children, you're always worrying, always in doubt as to whether they're going to be safe, they're going to be killed, or something bad's going to happen to them. You know, you can't rest because of the judgments of God that's in the world and because of the things that's happening. Hundreds and thousands of people being killed all the time. Millions of people going down to the grave with a regularity. not as to death by old age, but because of wrecks, because of problems, because of sickness, because of all of these things. Like a famous singer, I just heard of it a day or two ago. Some great singer, he just lost his little 13-year-old girl. She was killed in a wreck. Horrible. See, where did death come from? From man, not from God. Not from God. The Bible said death didn't come from God. God is not the author of death. Where did death come from? It comes from man. Where does sickness come from? It comes from man. Where does heartaches come from? It comes from man. Why? Because you'd rather eat, drink, ride, rather than just go to and fro, eating and drinking and rioting and doing the things of the world. You know, like a man told me recently, he said, you know, said, my wife has got a gluttony devil. Said, she's got a gluttony devil. See, and that's true. There's people in the world today that've got glutton devils. All they do is eat. They drink. They eat. And no matter what you tell them, they're not going to change that. No matter if you scold them, they're not going to change it. No matter what it is, they've got a glutton devil. They're just going to eat and they're going to drink. Why is that? Because that evil spirit has the hold of them. And that evil spirit won't turn them loose. And though they might, you know, they might turn over a new leaf, as we say, and promise themselves that that won't happen to them anymore. But they'll go right back to the same old pig pen. They'll go right back to the same old thing. You know, they need to leave off with their smoking. They need to leave off with their cursing. They need to leave off with their carousing. They need to put on some clothes and be decent. They need to be a lady. They need to be a gentleman. They need to dress like Christ. They need to act like Christ. They need to talk like Christ. They need to live like Christ. See, and they need to get away from the things of the world. And they need to forget about educating their children. That is a stink in the nostrils of God. People always tell them about they're going to educate their children. The Bible said everyone that's born of God is of a good understanding. You don't have to educate nobody when you're born of God. Not that you don't have to send them to school. That's fine if you want to send the child to school and help the child to develop. That's fine if you want him to get the kind of education that he understands the creation of God and what God has done as to that that God has ordained as to education. But all of this craziness and this foolishness about giving him some kind of great brilliance so that you can pause in his mind and heart against the things of God and make him, just make him an alien to the things of God. The more education you got, the worse off you are when it comes to the things of God. Did you know that? That's why Paul said, I count all of my learning is dung. All that I've learned, he said, I've got to get rid of it. It's just like having a bag full of dung. I've got to get it out of me, he said. And then I'm going to learn the things of God, find the things of God. That was his attitude. And when he found the things of God, that's the way he expressed himself. See, and all of this thing about worrying about that, and you're going to pull that child away from God, and you're going to pull that child away from the things of God, and you're going to go out and do your own thing. You're going to get your own little place. You're going to. There's nothing wrong if you want your own little place. If you want your own little home, own little piece of ground, Brother Pike has nothing to say about that. Hundreds and millions of people in the world today have that, and many of them are devout Christians. I have nothing to say about that. But this thing of backsliding on God and getting away from the house of God and getting away from the things of God and getting your mind on the things of the world and going back out there and you're going to nestle down and you're just going to eat and hunt and fish and carouse and frolic in the world and you're going to save you up a little money. That's foolishness. You're going to get out there so you can educate your children. That's a bunch of foolishness. God will set your fields on fire. And I'll tell you something else too. While you're pulling those children away from God and away from the people of God, you're going to find out that you're going to encounter problems and troubles like you never have in your life. You think you've got problems being around here with the people of God and with these children that are taught the right thing. You just get those children out there and you get them away from God and you turn them loose out there a little bit. And just like there's a man sitting here right now come and told me, he said, his brother's children, he said, they're cursing. He said, I don't want my children to be around them. He said, they're already cursing. He pulled away from God. He left God. He went his way. He done his own thing. Now he said, even the children are cursing to where he doesn't even want his children around them. See, going away from God, getting away from God, and thinking that you're going to do those things. As a matter of fact, I tell you something. The Lord just revealed to me just a little bit back that there's some people that's going to pull off the campground. They're going to move off the campground. We said this about some not too long ago. As far as I'm concerned, it's fine. No reason you have to live on the campground. Live where you want to. As a matter of fact, I think Brother Zimmerman's coming down to build them a little place over here. They're going to sell their place that they got up yonder. Now, but let me tell you something. You need to watch what you're doing, and you need to know what you're doing is of God. Because this very family that I'm speaking of, there was just a dream that was brought to me today that their son was drowned. That their son was drowned this very day. And it was mentioned in connection with the name that is also a person that's in bad shape, that's gotten into bad shape, and that person also drowned with them. Now,
That could be one way or another, because it was told in a way that it seemed to be pointing in two different ways. But I'm just telling you that you need to stop and think. Because in both cases, both families that I know of, and if the third family is involved, then the third family, because it looked like they were. And as far as I know, both families right now is pulling away from God and going to the world to get them homes and get them things of the world. Now you think it over. Both families at this particular time is pulling away from God to go get them a home. Both families. They just, all of a sudden, it worked out like that. They just come up together. And then there is another family that has considered it. But in the last little bit, they're doing some thinking. This other family, I picked up their spirit, and they were considering doing the same thing, fixing to do it. And now they've got a little bit shook up, and they've got in a valley of decision, and they really don't know what to do about it. But folks, let me tell you, God doesn't lie. God doesn't make mistakes. God knows what He's doing. Brother Pike might not know what he's doing a lot of times, but God knows what He's doing. And I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, you need to get shook up. You need to get your vision back. Without a vision, people perish. When you don't have any vision, you're going to perish. It doesn't matter who you are. Somebody would say, well, I've done this because, Brother Pike, there's only one reason that you did it, and that is because you lost your vision for Christ. People don't do those things when they have a vision for God. And just as quick as they lose their vision for God, they automatically do those things. There's nothing else that they can do except those things. That's all there's left to do when they lose their vision for God. So then what you need to do is get a vision for God. Get a vision for God. I was just thinking this very day, somebody brought $3,000 by and put it in the offering because of a number of the brethren here. Some of them, not very many, but some of them that banded together to go to do a little something for God. And it resulted in several thousand dollars in the offering today to help with the, which is just a little drop of what we have to use here or need. But yet $3,000 is part of what we have to have. And it's a big offering as to people when they give it. So then, I think about this. This prophet Isaiah, God spoke to him. And even Israel, he said, Israel, you're in this kind of condition. And today, the people are even in worse condition than Israel was. Today, if I and the ones that I'm speaking to right now, if I should ask you individually, what is the condition of your body and what is the status of your life, I would dare say that not one out of 10,000 people could come before me and truthfully confess that there wasn't something wrong with them physically or some kind of problem, some kind of oppression, some kind of evil power that's just swallowing them up. I dare say not one out of 10,000 people. Now, we got a lot of people that's good liars. When I say good liars, I mean they're Johnny on the spot as to a liar. They are liars, and they lie to try to prove me wrong. They lie. But I'll guarantee you not one out of 10,000 truthfully could come and tell me that everything was well with them, all well with them in the world today. I'm talking about Christians too. That's well with a Christian so far as his soul. But there wouldn't be one out of 10,000. I'm a preacher. And I have to acknowledge, and I did just a little bit ago, that there's problems out of the police, and there's problems out of the weather, and there's problems out of people, problems out of my family, problems out of people I ain't never known in my life. Slap on the other side of the world, I have problems out of people. I know you can't believe that, some of you. But my hands be raised to heaven, that's true. Somebody that I've never met in my life will rise up against me and fight against me. I never knew, I never met them all around the different parts of the nation and even far over in India in different places. They rise up against me. Folks, I'm telling you the truth. And they write me letters that you can't hardly believe. What is it? See, everybody is in that condition today. It's either a mental oppression, it's a nerve condition, or it's a financial pressure, or it's some kind of evil in their life, and they're having problems out of it, a physical problem.
all over the world. For the Bible says here that the whole city is desolate. All of the bodies are bruised. Young girls can't find hardly one with virtue. Just line the women folk up. And you can't hardly find one out of all of them that's retained their virtue. I'm talking about single and married alike. Men, line them up. Dirty and filthy. The Bible said when they're fed to the full, they may after their neighbor's wife. He said, will I not visit for these things, saith the Lord. Dirty, filthy minds all over the world, it's that way. See, that's why God said, forsake your iniquity. Get back in the house of God. Get your mind on God. Folks, let me tell you something. If you live here, I'm speaking to those right here right now. If you live here close to the church and you cannot get to the house of God regular, when you get away from the campground and you get out yonder, do you think you're going to come regular? You're not going to come at all. Because to begin with, you're moving for a worldly purpose. You're moving for a carnal desire. Which means you're getting farther away from God than you are right now at this present time. Or you wouldn't be doing that. It's got to be a worldly move. Anytime you move toward the flesh, it's got to be a worldly move. It's got to be the flesh. Which means that if you are away from God as to a distance now, you're going to be worse than ever. And you're going to be farther away from God then than you've ever been in your life. Or you're going to drift farther and farther away. Doesn't matter to Brother Pike. You know, is it going to hurt me? Somebody say, but what about that money I give? I wouldn't give a flip out of my finger for it. I never noticed it. Oh, yes, you would. Oh, no, I wouldn't. Somebody left not too long ago. They gave a lot of money. I told my wife before they left, I said, they're backslid. I told her one couple that was going to leave. I said, there's a couple that's going to leave. I said, the man's going to become a drunkard and the woman a prostitute. Fine people. Some of the finest people you ever seen. Reputation fine. It came to pass 100%. He turned out to be a stock drunkard. And she's turned out to be a prostitute. I mean full time. So then, as I said concerning somebody else not too long ago, I said, they're going to leave. I said, the reason is because they're backslid. I said, the man ain't right with God. Of course, my wife sometimes, she don't like it when I say that. She rises up. I said, I can't help what you say or what anybody says. The man ain't right with God. And I said, I saw the woman in a vision. She had a devil. And as it was, so it came to pass. Like a couple that we had back over around Mississippi. A woman fasting, I said the other night, sometimes as high as 21 days. I said, I can't help how much she fasts. I don't care what she says. She shouts, all those things. I said, there's a lust spirit got her. Today she's a prostitute, full time, one of the biggest in the areas. For years she's supposed to have been an outstanding woman. I said, not only that, but the man, I saw the man, I saw him in this darkness. I saw what he did, and I said, and he done wrong. And I said, has the spirit of lust got a hold of him? And today he's in a double marriage. Another man, I told my wife the same thing. I said, that man right there is dirty. And even though he was a preacher, I said, he's dirty, I said, it's filthy. And I said, it's going to come out, and it did. See, folks, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how religious you are or Brother Pike is. It doesn't matter how much you're supposed to pray, how much you're supposed to give, or how much you have give. It doesn't matter how many days that you've fasted. There is a word of God that teaches holiness, and it teaches righteousness. You say, but Brother Pike, I've got a great gift. I can pray for the sick, Brother Pike, and they'll be healed. And God shows me things. I don't care what you see. The Bible said Balaam could see God. He could just open his eyes, not go into a sleep, but just open his eyes, look into a trance, and he could see the Lord God of heaven right there standing before him. And he had such a power with God that he that was blessed was blessed. He that was cursed, as from that particular man. But the Bible said he was a soothsayer. How did he get his power with God? Because gifts are without repentance. The man had a gift and he gave it to the devil. But when God got ready to use it, God took him over there and put him over a flock of people like sheep. And the anointing and power of God came upon him and he said, thus saith the Lord, these people shall be blessed. No matter what the king says, these people shall be blessed. Another man, great, mighty, walked up into the presence of the prophets and prophesied like a great prophet, had murder in his heart all the time. Having a gift, seeing visions, all these things. There is only one thing that God will accept, not gifts, and that is holiness. God is the Spirit of holiness. And unless the Spirit of holiness is on the inside of you, you're going to hell with your gifts and all that you do, because you are in sin and iniquity. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So then, God is the Spirit of holiness, and God has said to you, and God has said to me, that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And the Bible said, without God's Spirit, you're none of His. So then, if God's Spirit is the Spirit of holiness, if I don't have the Spirit of holiness, then I'm none of God's. I'm none of God's. If I have the Spirit of holiness, I'm God's. It doesn't matter how you judge me, what you think about me as to gifts or preaching or whatever. If I have the Spirit of holiness, then I'm going to live holy. I'm going to walk holy. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to talk holy. All of my life is going to be according to holiness. And folks, let me tell you, if you don't dress holiness or dress holy, you're not God's. And if you don't talk holy, you're not God's. And if you go tell lies and shade things, you're not God's. The Bible says, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. The other night I preached right here, the last sermon, I preached hard, real hard against lying. I went right straight out, and somebody came to me. And this person said, I and another person was together, sitting right there under the ministry, right here in Bethlehem. Said we were together, and we went to get a job. And the things that was said during this little talk that we had of getting the job questioned us as to certain things. Said, and we stood and lied. Said we lied about it. Lied about it. And the person that was telling me really didn't lie when I questioned them. They were only there and didn't say anything when the other individual lied. But they said we lied about it. And said when I reproved the individual over it, and I said, that was a lie that you told. Said the person said, well, I was speaking in another dimension. And they were. They were speaking in that old dimension of the devil, that old intellectual mind of lying. All liars will have their part. You say, Brother Pike, what do you do with a person like that? What kind of person was that? That was supposed to be a devout Christian here at Bethlehem. One of the outstanding people. What then do you do about that, Brother Pike? I do this. I say that he'll die and go to hell unless he makes it right. I say that any person that can tell a lie doesn't have God's Spirit. If you get pressed into a place to where you alter things in a way that you know that you're not doing right, and you feel pressured or you get trapped in something and you say something before you realize it, then the thing for you to do, if the flesh has took advantage of you to that much because of your weakness of praying and seeking God, the very moment that you do that, you get your bearings, turn back around. Tell them people that you made a mistake or you lied to straighten that out. Or folks, you don't have it. There's no need of telling anybody that you've got God if you lie. No man can lie and have God. That's not possible. If you lie, you don't have God. If you lie for your convenience, you don't have God. If you lie for your children, you don't have God. Like the judge asked me the other day, and my child was involved, sitting there. And there were several testimonies gave in court, and I had the occasion to be there. And the judge looked at me and said, Reverend Pike, do you believe that? I said, I sure don't. I think they're lying. Because they were lying. God revealed to me that they were lying. See, you can't lie and go to heaven, folks. You can't gossip and you can't backbite and you can't go around doing the things that you do and go to heaven. There ain't no way you can do that. You can't be temperamental and fly up, have a temper and fight people and find fault with people. You can't do that and have God. There's no way you can do that and have God. See, you can't do that. You can't sit around on the benches in the church and evil surmise against the preacher and try to figure out whether he's going to say what you like or whether he's going to say something different and have God. There ain't no way. Your mind isn't right. You got the wrong kind of mind. You got the wrong kind of understanding. The Bible teaches that they that are born of the Lord meditate in His laws day and night.
They cast down every thought. They bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be holy, to be godly, to be submissive, to conform to the lovely way and will of God. So you cannot do those things. Somebody said, well, I'm a Brother Branham follower. It doesn't matter. God didn't have no followers in Brother Branham's leadership, or in his operation. That was liars. God didn't have nobody like that. There was real, genuine followers of God in his life. There's none in Brother Pike's following. There's none in Brother Branham's following. There's none in no God minister's following that lies and backbites and does those things. There might be some Judases mixed up in the following, but like it was said of Israel, the Bible said when they come out of Israel, not all that come out of Israel, or out of Egypt that is, not all that came out, Israel coming out, not all that came out was right. Not all of them, some of them was right, but not all of them was right. And the Bible said, in Isaac shall the seed be called, which means according to the word of faith. So then all of them could come out of Egypt. They wasn't right. They wasn't followers of Moses. Some of them looked back into Egypt. Some of them had Egypt in their heart. The Bible said, any man having put his hands to the plow looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Many people here, you have come out of the world, but you're looking back into the world. You've come out of the old carnal mind of your own will, self-will and desire, but you're looking right back into it. Some of you are bound with devils of jealousy. Some of you are bound with devils of hatred. Some of you are bound with devils of murder. Some of you are bound with demons and devils of gossip. Some of you are bound with devils and demons that causes you to burn your body up through human relationship as to passions. You burn like fire in your body because you're bound with devils. Some of you are bound with drink. Some of you are bound with money demons, hunger for money, the love for money. You drive your wife like a slave. You drive your children. You'd steal from a dead man to get the wealth if you had the opportunity. Some of you are in that kind of condition. Some of you just mumble and grumble and find fault. Some of you have devils of haughtiness. Some of you have devils of temper. Some of you have evil spirits of all kind. Some of you have numbers of evil spirits in you. Not one, but like Mary Magdalene, you have numbers of devils. I meet you day by day. And I know for sure that some of you have numbers of devils in you. That's bad, isn't it? There's people sitting right here tonight that's listening also. That's bound with devils right here in this audience. They're bound. I could call you up here and tell you who you are and what kind of devil's got a hold of you. You're bound with the devils. I have people that come in and out my house. I tell my wife. I say, Betty, I hate to see them folks come. I said, they create a terrible atmosphere in my home. I said, they come in and out my house. I said, and when I meet them, they don't get out of the way. You almost have to bump into them. They don't have any respect. They don't give. They don't humble themselves. Just an old haughty, forward, protruding devil. I hate to see them come into my house. Some of them lust devils. Lust devils. I hate to see them come to my house. All kind of demons and devils. You know, if I had any way to keep them out, I would keep them out. But I'm dealing with human beings, and it's like a doctor. All kind of diseases comes. He has to deal with all kind of diseases. He just has to stay in a condition in his body or whatever to be protected from those diseases, to keep those things from getting a hold of him. So then, that's the way it is, folks. The body's bruised. The head is all bruised up. The whole world is in a state of chaos. You can't find any healing medicines. It's getting to where God is taking away the healing medicines. Doctors don't know what to do with you anymore because every disease that's named is among the people. Every disease that's known, the people have taken it one way or another. And then besides that, many of it's not known to the doctors. This book said, and many diseases, all diseases that's not mentioned in this book will come upon you. Because you've forsaken the Lord. You've not followed Christ. And you've forsaken the Lord. Your little children are bound, ruined, wrecked, crippled, helpless, mental conditions. All because you've got to suck on a weed pot. Dope. drink, gossip. You know, I'm going to say this. I'm going to try to close in just a minute. But I'm going to try to say this with this little exhortation tonight. A lot of people will say, that old devil that's on dope out yonder. And I've met some of them old devils, as you call them, that's on dope. I've met some of the boys and girls, and I've talked with them. And they broke down and said, Brother Pike, help me. I'm bound. I need help. I've done become a slave to this thing. And then I met some of them gossipers that said something about them old devils. And the dope that those people smoke are not one-tenth as dangerous to their soul as the gossiping tongue that you carry around in your mouth. You're backbiting in the words that you say, and a lot of you the thoughts that you think. Those dope peddlers and smokers are in better shape than some of you with the thoughts that you carry around in your minds. All right, let's stand together. The whole body is sick. Something needs to be done. And there's one answer, and Christ is that answer. What will you do, the Lord said. What will you do? I've chastened you. I've reproved you. You're bruised, wrecks, arms missing, legs missing, heartaches, sorrows. The whole world is a great calamity. And you won't do anything about it. You won't do anything about it. Somebody said, well, what can I do, Brother Pike? I'm just one person. I'm just one person too. But I can do something about it. And you know what? Through preaching the word, through telling about Jesus, through making an effort, we've reached hundreds and thousands of people in doing something about it in many towns and in many places. Still today, we're doing it by the grace of God. You can do something about it. You might be one individual, but the Bible said the race is not to the swift and the battle is not to the strong. It was as the day of Jonathan and some of the others. When one man got up, took his arm of Baron, went out to battle and defeated the whole alien power. One man took an ox gourd and killed hundreds and multiplied hundreds of people. One man took the jawbone of an ass and slew 1,000 people. God takes one man, just one man. A lot of folks praise David because he killed the giant. David boldly went out and killed the giant, a great and a mighty warrior, a man of courage. And we admire him today and we think about him today and we choose to think of his victories rather than his failures. But did you know there came a day when that same David had aged greatly and went out on the battlefield and didn't have the strength to fight? And as he went to war, a great giant, as to say Goliath's brother, approached him. And when he got near David and would have killed David, one of the courageous fighters that fought side by side with David, one of his men, reached out, plucked his sword out of his hand and killed him before he could hurt David. On other occasion, a man walking along found a lion in a pit. One of David's great mighty warriors jumped down into the pit and killed the lion. Fought him and killed him. Other giants, on numbers of occasions, great men of David, great leaders that walked by David's side, killed the giants just as David did. God has always had great people. He still has great people. He had great women. He had great men. There's records of great and mighty women that wrought great things. And there is records of men that wrought great things. One woman threw a stone over a wall when a whole army within the city, the people that was in there, the whole army of the aliens come in and just the people in the city to fight back. And this one woman got up on the wall and threw a stone, a huge stone, and killed the leader and defeated the armies. Another woman caught one of the leaders, enticed him to the extent that she said, you need rest and need to lay down. And I'll provide you food and water and hide you. Just as quick as he lay down, she drove a big nail through his temple, killed him. Great, mighty women that wrought great and mighty deeds, that done great and mighty things in the name of the Lord, wrought great victories. Great women, great men. Paul spoke of his women workers as being great and mighty women. So you don't have to go after the world. You don't have to be the slouch of the world. You don't have to be one that throws your life away and all of your virtues away, whether man or woman. You don't have to do that. You can be a real person in God. You can be a real, genuine, holy God person, a Holy Ghost-filled person. So then, this is what the prophet Isaiah said. The ox, the ass, they know their master, they know their crib. But my people have forgotten me days without number, and they've committed two evils. One, they've forsaken the true and the living God. Another, they've hewn them out cisterns, even broken cisterns that will not hold water. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Appreciate your kind attention tonight. It's felt like exhorting you a little bit.
Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus.
Sing it with me now.
Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
You know, we sing, come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Bethlehem is a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place. And there's wonderful people at Bethlehem. And people around the world are beginning to realize that. And they'd like to have what they've got, and they'd love to be part of it. And they can. God wants them to. First started in Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the gospel has been preached even to the extent that it's reached way over here in this Western world to you and I. But there's a lot can be done. A lot can be done. You can do something for God if you want to do it. You can do it. God wants you to do it. He needs your help. Man or woman, he needs your help. And he's willing to work with you if you'll work with him. A lot of things that can be done. Girls and boys, a lot of things that you can do. Great and mighty things are taking place in the Spirit. I see them so wonderfully. I see them so clearly. I don't tell you a whole lot about them because I can't make conversation with some of you because you're not spiritual. Paul said, I wished you was spiritual, that I could speak unto you as unto spirituals. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that you might be able to comprehend the heights, depth, width, and length of this great gospel. But I know that many of you never will. Bethlehem is still a great place. Lovely things are taking place. Lovely people. There's one thing that you really need to come to, and that is the reality of God Almighty. God is a reality. Remember, he's not a little man like you and I, a little woman. God is the great, ever-expanding, endless, without measure, boundaries. No beginning and end, God. He is the great, terrible God, the great, mighty God. We're but just a little bit of people right here in this particular area, or just a common fella that's speaking to you that hear my voice. See, just a few people, and God is great and mighty, and we need to fear him, and we need to reverence him. And if this be God's house, if this be the move of God, if God be so kind, the great and terrible, ever-expanding, unendless God, if that great God has been so kind to look down at a little place called Bethlehem and try to help us and try to give us an understanding and try to work with us and try to make a place for worship and reveal these great and mighty things to the people of Bethlehem, even as he did to Daniel, We ought to be so grateful. We ought to do everything within our power to try to do right. Try to do right, folks. Don't be haughty. Don't be hateful. Don't be contrary. Whatever you do, keep your heart tender. God cut them off in the wilderness because of the hardening of the heart. You can harden your heart. You know what hardening of the heart is? Self-will. Someone would say hardening of the heart, Brother Pike, is when you get angry and you want to beat somebody's brains out, you want to commit murder. That's not what God was speaking of. God was speaking of being staunch in your own personal convictions as to your own doings and your own way of life, as to want to do what you want to do. Being one that won't yield as to your own way of life, as to your own doings, and not doing the things of God. See, God calls us the hardened of the heart. Whether it be as to a business, whether it be as to a decision, whether it be as to a human desire, whether it be whatever in life, as to your program or motives. All right. While we sing another chorus. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you.
Thank you.
Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Can you sing it again? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you.